From Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. Iowa's focus on entrepreneurship, innovation, and exports has led to an eighth-place ranking on a list of top economic-performing states. That's according to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and National Chamber Foundation. This hour, we examine what's behind Iowa's culture of entrepreneurship. My guests will include Kurt Nelson of the Entrepreneurial Development Center, a private, public-sponsored business accelerator, Matt Miller of Mobile Demand, based in Hiawatha, and John Slump of J&J Solutions in Coralville. Are you an entrepreneur looking for an opportunity? Tell us your story. Our discussion starts right after this news. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Iowa's focus on entrepreneurship, innovation, and exports has led to an eighth-place ranking on a list of top economic-performing states. That's according to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and National Chamber Foundation in a newly released Enterprising States survey. So this hour, we want to examine what's behind Iowa's culture of entrepreneurship and enterprise. We'll ask how entrepreneurs are doing in the state and what new business opportunities exist even in this down economy. Joining us first of all, Karen Merrick. She's with the Iowa Department of Economic Development. She will oversee the development of the Iowa Innovation Council for the Iowa Department of Economic Development. Joining us from Iowa Public Radio Studios in Des Moines. Good afternoon, Karen.
Good afternoon.
So let's talk about this ranking that we saw come out here. Eighth on a list of top economic performing states compiled by the U.S. Chamber. That's surprising to me, or I'm just not getting it. I wouldn't have put Iowa in the top 10 of top economic performing states.
Well, metrics matter, and the metrics that they are using are to our advantage. And the other thing, of course, that's to our advantage is within the last 7 years, 8 years, we've been moving in this direction quietly but persistently. You're going to be interviewing Kurt in a few minutes, and the work that they're doing in Cedar Rapids kind of tells the tale on where the state is trying to go in entrepreneurial development and the creation of an innovative economy.
So before we do get to Kurt, tell us what aspects, what metrics of enterprise earned Iowa this eighth ranking in the country?
Well, they looked at programs, for one thing, and about 4 years ago, the state created a new division within the Department of Economic Development called Innovation and Commercialization. And I had the honor of being the first division administrator of that division. And within that, the work of the division, there were programs developed not by legislators or by the department, but by a group of dedicated business leaders who had come together starting in 2003 to see what were the things that Iowa really needed, what kind of programs, what kind of state investment and dollars, relationship building with the universities, between the universities, government, and business in order to move the economy forward. So in the U.S. Chamber report, they cite the Innovation and Commercialization Division specifically and those programs that help companies to get higher skill workers with certain specific IT skills. We're connecting student interns with small Iowa companies. And then, of course, we have what's called the Demonstration Fund to help with prototype development. None of these programs require job creation, so they're earlier stage focus very much on the entrepreneur.
So this eighth place ranking, because of the metrics, is a measure of how much we're investing in innovation, but we aren't at the stage yet where the results are paying off or can be seen be paying off.
I think there's another report. It's the Kaufman Report on the New Economy Index. And in that report, Iowa is 30th in the nation in population, but we're 20th in the nation for entrepreneurs starting businesses, which is a remarkable place to be. Unfortunately, there's another metric, and that's how many of our companies hit the Inc. 500 list. And those are companies that have a 200% growth in revenues over 4 years, were 38th on that list. Mm. So somewhere between starting companies and getting them to the point where there are stars and they're taking off, that's where our work is involved at the state level and also at the local level, and how we help those companies start but then fill those gaps that they're going to need in order to get more of our companies on that Inc. 500 list.
Karen Merrick is with the Iowa Department of Economic Development. I want to join our conversation. Kurt Nelson of the Entrepreneurial Development Center. It's a private, public-sponsored business accelerator. He's a three-time winner of Inc. Magazine's Fastest Growing Company Contest. I want to talk specifically, Kurt, welcome to our program, first of all.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Want to talk specifically about your development center in just a moment, but first, your reaction to this new study, the eighth place ranking, and also the Kauffman Foundation on business startups.
Well, I guess my initial response would be working with entrepreneurs and being that really all that we do on a regular basis, I think that the eighth place ranking has an awful lot to do with innovation and so forth in some of our larger companies as well. I will agree with Karen that over the last 7 or 8 years, we've been employing an awful lot of additional activities to help on the entrepreneurial side. But as Karen pointed out, you get to a point where what we're creating is more and more high-impact, high-scaling or gazelle-level businesses that have five-year strong growth rates has been a real challenge in Iowa over that period of time. I think if you look at the 2009 Kauffman Index of Entrepreneurial Activity, Iowa is one of 10 states that ranked near the bottom as far as the ability to grow new businesses, new entrepreneurial businesses. And I think Iowa, like a lot of states, has had an awful lot of growth when it comes to the one-employee type businesses, the consulting businesses. I mean, I think you saw the recession of 2009 create an awful lot of new businesses, but those were non-employee businesses, businesses where someone was out of a job and became a consultant.
Describe where we are now in spring, early summer of 2010, to give us some context for the discussion about entrepreneurs and innovation in Iowa, the landscape. What does it look like, Kurt, for enterprise out there?
Well, as far as new enterprise?
Well, I have to be more specific, I guess you're telling me.
Well, it's a broad subject. I can probably branch off a bit. I mean, I think if you look at the last couple of years, this last year based on the recession, while there have been an awful lot of additional business starts, they've tended to be these non-employee level businesses. Our organization, we typically see maybe as many as 40 or 50 new companies, new businesses a year. It's been a little slower over the last 12 months for us. To see those kind of high-impact businesses forming.
You are a business accelerator. Tell us what that is.
Really, a business accelerator is like a doctor's office and a medical center for businesses that are starting. The point of our organization is to wrap education, guidance, networking, capital raising, all of the components around a newly formed business or an early stage business to help them either get started or grow to the next level. So if you wrap around a business idea and a new entrepreneur a lot of talent and knowledge and capability that they don't have, you significantly improve their ability to be successful. I mean, the SBA has monitored it for years. You start a business with an accelerator, you have a 75% chance of being in business 5 years from now. If you start without one, you have only a 25% chance of being in business 5 years from now.
And how many companies in Iowa have you doctored to good economic health, business health?
We've worked with, in the last 6 years, we've worked with over 400 companies. In any given year, we probably work with about 35 to 40 active at any one time.
Mm-hmm. And the track record on those 400, how many are still around of those?
Well, I think we've really only seen less than five go away. So the track record for us has been excellent.
Conventional wisdom might say that starting a new business venture during a bad economy is a bad idea. Kurt, I want to ask Karen this too, but Kurt, staying with you for the moment, is that true?
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, starting a new business is all about having an idea or a product or a service that people need and need in a way and have a high enough need that they'll exchange money for it. And there's no, you know, so in a down economy, there are services and things that people will exchange money for then that they need more than. So I think it's really about building the right business recipe and executing correctly. It's not really about the times. Now, the times surely have impacted the ability to raise capital or secure any kind of debt capital from a bank. So the financing side has become more challenging. But what we saw through 2009, I think we had a record year of raising capital in 2009 for our clients, raising almost $17 million. So, you know, it was possible to get them funded if you have the right business, the right business ideas.
Mm-hmm. Karen Merrick, how does that affect, from your perspective, the down economy affect the generation to enterprise in Iowa?
Well, I think there are historic examples of companies that started in down times. I think Pioneer Hybrid, DuPont is probably one of those. But Kurt's right. It's all about relevance in the market. If you have a product that is needed at the particular point in time, regardless of what's going on around you, other than, of course, the capital formation piece. That's what's important. Is there a market for your product?
So when
what's
we talk,
the relevance?
So when you're talking about launching a new enterprise, whether we have a down or an up economy is irrelevant? Is that what you're saying?
I think what's relevant is the pieces that you need around the product. So is the product relevant in the market? Is the management team there, which may be easier to get in downtimes than it is in when times are booming and management talent is scarce?
Now,
is capital available? Are angel investors maybe? In Iowa, angel investors are very important. And in times like these, they may be a little more skittish, and I think that Kurt might agree with that. They're a little more skittish now than they were before.
Remind us what angel investors are, Kurt.
Angel investors are high net worth individuals that are making individual investments on their own. They're making a private investment into a new business enterprise. Then there are angel funds, which are groups of those type of high net worth individuals investing as a group but without professional management. And then there are seed funds, which are early stage funds that are professionally managed. Okay, then venture funds, and then private placement funds.
Okay, a lot to wrap our brains around this hour as we talk about Iowa's culture of entrepreneurship, innovation, enterprise. And we'd like to reach out to you, our listeners. We're going to hear some stories of entrepreneurship making a difference here in Iowa. Perhaps you are an entrepreneur looking for an opportunity or looking to expand into a new area, a new niche. Are you a seasoned entrepreneur? What crucial tips would you pass on to the new generation of entrepreneurs? 1-866-780-9100 is our number, 1-866-780-9100, or email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. When we come back, we'll meet two successful entrepreneurs, Matt Miller of Mobile Demand, based in Hiawatha, John Slump of J&J Solutions in Coralville. That's when we return. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. And we're back with Karen Merrick of the Iowa Department of Economic Development and Kurt Nelson of the Entrepreneurial Development Center, a public-private sponsored business accelerator. Karen Merrick, I want to ask you before we meet some entrepreneurs. Governor Chet Culver signed legislation creating the Iowa Innovation Council. You mentioned this before, to advise the state's Department of Economic Development on policies that enhance innovation and entrepreneurship in high-growth industries. And tell us, how does the council go about that? You're in charge of that. You're overseeing this.
Well, the council is the membership of the council, at least the leaders of the council, have been working together, since 2003. They were the original Battelle industry groups that were formed as individual advisory groups to the DED Board of Directors. So a group in advanced manufacturing, one in IT, and another in the biosciences. And what this piece of legislation does is it codifies these groups, it pulls them together, and then it gives them some very specific tasks. And the groups While they are dominated by the business community, they have some very important members from the university presidents are involved. We have the state's chief technology officer, who is appointed by the governor, Ted Crosby, will chair this group as well. We have a couple of community college presidents and the state's chief information officer. So it's a good mix of people, and what they will be doing initially this year, we're kind of on a fast track here, we're reaching out to the people we're working with, the service providers like Kurt for that group, to help us look at the policies and the programs that the department currently holds and how those policies and programs affect and enhance the growth of these three industry sectors in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I was just going to say we're also looking for new initiatives. We are working right now with the universities on what's called an I-6 grant through EDA, through the U.S. Department of Commerce, to see if we can garner a grant to help us help the accelerators and other service providers and enhance those services across the state.
Where would you say, in terms of enhancing innovation and entrepreneurship in Iowa, in these high-growth industries you named in IT, advanced manufacturing, and bioscience, have you already identified the areas that need the most work?
Well, I think what we're working on now is gathering the hard data to help the council determine where the target areas for growth should be. When you talk about biosciences or advanced manufacturing or IT, these are huge, broad categories. So within, let's say, advanced manufacturing, what is a technology that we should be looking at? What is a technology that has a university base, has some company formation, has multiple uses across all three industry sectors? So what are those technologies that we need to be looking at, how we might support not only university research but also company formation or deployment of new products within companies? An example might be virtual reality, and we're doing quite a bit of work right now with virtual reality as it can be used in medical IT, how it can be used in advanced manufacturing, and also what's going on at our universities and even in our high schools in teaching those technologies.
Karen Merrick is with the Iowa Department of Economic Development, Kurt Nelson of the Entrepreneurial Development Center. Joining our conversation now, two entrepreneurs. Quickly, we'll get to them and then continue after the break. Matt Miller is president and CEO of Mobile Demand. John Slump is the CFO and co-founder of J&J Solutions in Coralville, Mobile Demand based in Hiawatha. Matt Miller, John Slump, welcome to our program. A little closer to the mic there, Mike. John, if you could. Let's talk to you, first of all, Matt, about your company, Mobile Demand. You produce a type of rugged computer. For what application?
Well, we like to hang our hat on of the kind of the elevator speech of what we give is that we do our part to get beer to your refrigerator. To sum that up, so what it is our main customers and market that I started the company on 6 or 7 years ago, we had a market focused niche on beer wholesalers, so beer sales guys who work for beer wholesalers across the nation. We have about 4,000 of our tablets installed in the beer sales guys' hands where they are selling beer to retail stores using our tablets to basically execute sales. So they take inventory at the customer site, and they do with barcode scanners, they do sales presentations, show commercials of the like Anheuser-Busch Super Bowl commercials and the like. So they use a very rugged, durable system to be able to sell beer.
So it has to be mobile. So these are also the people we see perhaps in delivery trucks jumping off?
Correct, yes.
And so, they have this in hand, and sometimes it slips and hits the asphalt. Right?
Absolutely, yeah. We've had lots of instances where beer bottles drop on the display, and sometimes they make it through, and sometimes they'll break and have to turn them in. So
tell me, how did you find this opportunity? What made you identify it and then seize on it to develop?
Well, I was employed with NORAND Corporation in Cedar Rapids downtown for 9 years, learning mobile computing, and had always looked for an opportunity to start my own business. And after separating ways with NORAND, I had worked with a small company and found an opportunity that Anheuser-Busch specifically was dictating to their wholesalers nationwide that they must use a full-screen, touchscreen computer for their sales operations. So that was the market opportunity I'd been looking for. I knew through my previous employment and experience ways to find the right types of products to bring to market to meet those needs.
Mm-hmm. And how widespread is your rugged mobile tablet now?
Well, we're installed. We've got about 5,000 tablets, closing in on 6,000 tablets nationwide. We're also installing in Europe now with a recent launch of a new tablet computer. So we're doing pretty well in Europe. We've got installations in Africa and South America, but 95% of our business is in the U.S., North America.
Now, mobile demand is up against the big boys, Panasonic and Dell. How have you developed strategies to stay viable? They also have similar products.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we certainly have our competitors out there, and that's to be quick and nimble is one of the things that we're able to do with our business model. We really hear the customers. We listen to what their needs are. And we're able to design the certain hardware components of our systems to be able to stay ahead of our competition. And we're just not selling laptop computers like Panasonic salespeople are. We're selling the systems combined with the software of our partners provide the total solution. So we really pride ourselves upon listening to the markets, listening to specific customers, and making changes to really meet needs.
And in fact, it was Kurt Nelson and his Entrepreneurial Development Center that got you on your way. You were at his business doctor's office. What was the biggest way that he and his center aided you in developing? What perhaps missteps would you have made had that development center not been there?
Well, I think Kurt is, if anybody asks me what's the reason for mobile demand success, and I certainly think that a big part of that is we have to be true to yourself to understand what your strengths and your weaknesses are, especially your weaknesses. And Kurt has a program and a stepwise program that challenges the entrepreneur to ensure that they've got the balanced ingredients to the best success potential for the company. So you got to make sure and be brutally honest with yourself. You can build the greatest widget, but if there's no real market to it, then that like Kurt had mentioned earlier, that people are willing to fork over their hard-earned dollars. You got to be honest with yourself early on. So
Matt Miller is a mobile demand based in Hiawatha. Quickly before the break, we want to go to John Slump of J&J Solutions in Coralville. John, what does J&J Solutions provide?
Well, thanks for having me. J&J Solutions is an emerging medical device manufacturing company that optimizes the safety, efficiency, and affordability of chemotherapy cancer care. So we make these small plastic disposable medical devices that ultimately ensure the protection of healthcare providers and patients by preventing harmful exposure to dangerous drugs like chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we do, and we really got into the business a few years ago when my sister was diagnosed with melanoma, very deadly skin cancer, and I learned that the healthcare workers who were treating patients like my sister were being exposed to these toxic chemotherapy pharmaceuticals, and they were getting cancer themselves. They were becoming infertile, having miscarriages, liver and kidney failures, all sorts of nasty health problems. So that really, that really defined the market opportunity or problem for us.
John Slump, I'd like to talk with you more after the break about J&J Solutions in Coralville, talking this hour about the Iowa's culture of entrepreneurship and innovation. What can we do to advance this? We have a number of guests, and we hope that you'll join our further conversation when we come back in just a few minutes. Perhaps you have a story of entrepreneurship made in Iowa that you'd like to share, or perhaps you're an entrepreneur looking for an opportunity to expand into a new area. 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. This is The Exchange. We'll be back in just a few minutes. We're back with The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Today, looking at Iowa's culture of innovation and entrepreneurship, we have several guests with us. We have Karen Merrick of the Iowa Department of Economic Development, Kurt Nelson, President and CEO of the Entrepreneurial Development Center. That's a business accelerator. Matt Miller, president and CEO of Mobile Demand, based in Hiawatha, a quickly growing company that is a supplier of rugged mobile computers to the wholesale beer industry. And John Slump, the CFO and co-founder of J&J Solutions in Coralville. I'll ask you to join our conversation. Stories of entrepreneurship, welcome in the remaining half hour of our program, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. John Slump, we touched on your business just before the break, and you talked about the medical product that you developed, your company developed in helping people deal with chemotherapy in a safer way. How did you come across this idea?
Well, as I mentioned just before we went to the break, my sister was diagnosed with melanoma, skin cancer, a few years back. And as you know, naturally, I was very, very scared, very worried for her. So I started doing some research on cancer care. And I found out that the healthcare workers who were mixing these chemotherapy cocktails and delivering them to patients like my sister were being routinely exposed, and they were getting cancer themselves. They were becoming infertile, having miscarriages, organ failures. So it was a very serious problem. And there were a couple products out on the market, but we did some more research, we did some focus studies, and we really started working with Curt and EDC, and we really found that there was an amazing opportunity for a better medical device that really addresses all the market needs.
Mm-hmm. So how has your product taken off? How widespread is it now? What is your growth like?
Well, we're still a pre-revenue life sciences company, so we're still in the pre-revenue stage. And right now we're working to launch manufacturing this year and to begin marketing and selling activities in early 2011. But, you know, for an emerging life sciences company, it's a long uphill battle. You need a lot of capital just to get to market. And then, you know, as I'm sure Matt can attest, a lot more to fuel that growth. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's – the EDC has been instrumental in helping us, I think, with three core aspects of our business. First and foremost, you know, refining the business plan. And, you know, we came out of an academic setting out of the University of Iowa. So we had some great support from JPEC and the entrepreneurial programs there. But EDC really helped us to take that plan, to begin to execute that plan, to find the talent and the management that we needed to drive this company to fruition. And then really with those two things set, we went out and we raised the money, and we were very successful in doing that, both in from the state side. Karen mentioned the great programs that IDED has now, and we are actually a proud recipient of $150,000 from the IDED Demonstration Fund. And we also went out and leveraged that into another $1.5 million plus in venture capital from within the state of Iowa.
John Slump of J&J Solutions in Coralville, also our other entrepreneur here. Matt Miller of Mobile Demand based in Hiawatha. Curt Nelson of the Entrepreneurial Development Center. What do we need to create more and more successful entrepreneurs like Matt and John?
Well, I think what we found over the years is that there are three basic things, and John hit on them. You know, the first thing that entrepreneurs need, typically entrepreneurs, first-time entrepreneurs, which Iowa tends to be the recipient of, folks getting into their first business venture, need help all along the way. The analogy I use is like helping a car from the top of a mountain to the bottom of a mountain. One car and one driver might need help six times along the way to keep from going off a corner, and one might only need the help once. But the real key to helping them is always being there and being able to help them with whatever turn they're at. Mm-hmm. There's no real program of, well, here, go read this book, or here, just do this, and now you're on your own. Because they'll be back and they'll be back and they'll be back depending upon the deal. So they really need the professional help from people who have been there before, seen the problems before, and can help them avoid them. They need to have the right talent wrapped around their businesses. So they need to have a pool of talent available to go to work in their business, to become advisors on their business, to be board of directors with their business. But they need that talent to wrap around them, to give them a full talent set. It's like fielding a ball team with only pitchers.
Is Iowa – we know that Iowa educates young people very well in higher institutions of learning and also the public schools. People often tend to leave the state. Do we have that talent pool, or is that something we need to work on as well?
It's a challenge. I mean, Iowa's challenged in that area. You know, it's the folks who leave the state, it's fine from my perspective for them to go out and get their first 10 years of experience somewhere else. It's then that we would like them back. Because what the entrepreneurs need are experienced talent in specific disciplines that can come and apply what they've learned. But, you know, this is not like Silicon Valley or Silicon Alley where we've got, you know, a dozen well-exited entrepreneurs with millions of dollars in their pockets sitting looking for the next entrepreneur to help. This Iowa has traditionally built new companies to keep, not sell, where if you look at, you know, East Coast, West Coast, people build businesses to sell. We build them to keep here, so we don't have a lot of exiting entrepreneurs. So talent is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing that we really need is the ability to raise capital. I know Karen and IDED, we've talked a lot with them over the years about how do you do a better job, how do we do a better job of creating angel funds, angel investors, coordinating angel investors. I think two of the deals we raised capital for last year, John's deal and another one, putting together money in the $1.5 million range, it took 7 different funds to put that money together. So we could use an awful lot more on the capital side as well. Those three things, the talent to help, the talent to work in the businesses, and the capital to drive these businesses are things that Iowa's got to continually get better at.
Exchange listeners, we're looking for stories of entrepreneurship and also questions about launching an enterprise, 1-866-780-9100. John is with us from Iowa City. Good afternoon, John.
Hi there. I'm wondering about wind energy. Iowa is now number 2 next to Texas in wind energy, and I guess I wonder for farmers who might want to put a wind turbine in their fields, or if somebody wanted to just put a wind turbine on top of their house and perhaps sell some. I've heard you can sell energy back to the electric companies, and where would one pursue that? I guess is my question. My answer off the air.
Thank you, John. I'm looking around the panel. Karen is in Des Moines. I can't look at her reaction to this, but who wants to jump in here? Karen, do you have a word about that? Green opportunities such as wind energy?
Well, I'm trying to formulate an answer to the question. The topic at hand is entrepreneurship and innovation, and I'm assuming that if you can sell your power back to the power company, that is entrepreneurial at its nature. But I am not. I don't have a good answer for him.
So. Well, I guess I'm trying to broaden out that question, that we have a lot of government incentives, do we not, leading to green business, focus on renewable energy opportunities. Can an entrepreneurial mind take advantage of that startup money, that push for green energy? Kurt?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is like any other business, right? So the understanding or what this listener needs to do or anyone wanting to do that really needs to understand, okay, first off, if I'm going to invest my money in it, what's the whole business plan around it? I think there is a misnomer that there are lots of dollars just laying out there. I think Karen would smile and say, you know, when people even come to us and say, well, here there's a lot of free money in Iowa, you know, and at the end of the day, there's no such thing as free money. There are money for very specific things that have very well-tailored business plans and programs and talent wrapped around them. So, you know, if you were going to put up a wind generator on your farm, then you have to go through all the economics of what's it going to cost to put it up, what am I going to gain from it over time, okay, how long is that going to take to pay back over time, what's the payback on it, when does it start to make positive impact to me, then can I actually sell off the extra energy to a power grid. You know, then I'm going to connect to somebody like Alliant Energy who's putting in large wind farms and understand what I can sell back to them.
Now, business startups reached their highest level in 14 years in 2009. That's according to a new study released by the Kauffman Foundation. And Carl Schramm, the president and CEO of the Kauffman Foundation, says, challenging economic times can serve as a motivational boost to individuals who have been laid off to become their own employers and future job creators. So it's interesting. The highest number of business startups in 2009, that's a year after the economic collapse. Kurt, do you see that making sense?
Yeah, I touched on it a little earlier because what you saw, I think what you would see predominantly is those are non-employee business startups. There's only like roughly just under 25% of all entities that exist actually employ employees. So if you look at a typical I helped, I think, three different individuals last year start their own personal consulting businesses because they had 10 or 20 years or 30 years of great experience. They were laid off. Their businesses were downsized. They had skills that other companies could use but couldn't pay full time for. So we set them up as a business entity, and then they went to work and worked for three companies at a time instead of one. One's working for Matt Miller's business right here. So you had an awful lot of that over this last year.
So you had someone, an employee that you found who had been laid off, tremendous number of skills, put them in a new environment, and that person's thriving.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, she's on contract with us, our chief marketing officer. So she's we're utilizing her talent to an extensive ability, but where she's also contracted with a few other marketing companies. I might also add is that this is the case in point of me especially, is that I had, before I was laid off with Intermec back in 2000, and about 4 months before that, I had proposed to executive management to spin off a product line, but they didn't quite go for that, and maybe that's why they laid me off. But nonetheless, it was the opportunity of a lifetime, to be honest with you, because I always had in mind that I needed to utilize my talents to have the best reward possible to solve market needs out there, and I had been trained in my experience to do that, and was looking for that opportunity. And when I was laid off, it was a kick in the butt to say, all right. Now you got to find that opportunity, take advantage of it, and it was able to. I would also say that one thing that allows you to do is it allows you to focus on it. There's a lot of entrepreneurs that are out there that are trying to start a business as a part-time job, where they've got a regular full-time job and they're trying to get a business going at night by business planning and all that. And I think that if you're laid off, you really should take a look at now you've got the opportunity to concentrate on it and build that business plan. Fine-tune all the details that you need to get the business started.
Well, let's say we'll speak right to those people who are laid off, the unemployed or the underemployed. Kurt, what opportunities? So instead of just sending out the next dozen applications to the job openings you see there and perhaps not getting a response to most of those, the other avenue is what questions should a person who has been laid off or is only partially employed be asking him or herself?
Well, two things in general. One, have they now developed a skill set that makes them a product? Because an awful lot of folks who have developed enough expertise in some area can become a product themselves, making them a good viable candidate to be a consultant for two businesses or 20 businesses. So if you've developed enough skill set, enough knowledge in a particular area where that knowledge is of need and of value to other businesses that they will buy it, then that's how strong consulting businesses get started. And I've helped some folks start those. Ultimately, if you get too many clients, then you start hiring employees, and there you go. Now you got you have an Accenture, mm-hmm. right?
What if you don't know you have the skill set? What if you know how sometimes you can be in the forest and not see the trees for the forest?
Right. Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, you know, that kind of person, this is where advisors, outside advisors come into play. You have business associates. If you think you might have the talents in those areas, you can ask other consultants. The other thing you can do is if you have a strong business leadership background or marketing development background, product development background, now is a good time for you to employ your time in investigating and researching what new products the market might want, what new services the market might want. That you can spend, you have the time, you can spend the time learning about business planning and what it takes. If you can do enough research, there's the research capabilities online now are so extensive. That an awful lot of validation can be done that way.
Matt Miller of Mobile Demand, I know that in the making of your very successful company and the widespread use of its product now, the rugged mobile tablet PCs, internet marketing was a big part of spreading the news about your new product. Tell us about how important that was for you.
Well, I think that's actually one of the things that I've mentioned to many of people at state level or what have you, that for Iowa to compete, it's not just building the product, again, as I mentioned before, but it's also selling the product. And how are you going to sell? I had to take a look at our company. We needed to get the word out nationwide. We were a small company. I started the company in the basement of my home office was in my basement of the house. And how do you get the word out? How do you compete against Panasonic? How do you compete? You know, there's certainly feet on the street, salespeople and all, but the way that we figured out that a company, a technology company in Iowa, can sell its wares, make itself known by internet marketing. That is, utilizing all kinds of, you know, obviously website presence is just a very basic level of that. But you have to get good at building your website. You have to make it look nice. You have to do internet marketing, which could be we concentrated and spent a majority of our marketing dollars on Google paid sponsorships of the certain keywords that would be searched for. So rugged tablet PC and tablet PC are the certain ones and where we appeared on the top of the sponsored links when people search for those terms. And we would spend anywhere from $20,000 to $35,000 a month on Google paid-per-click advertising. Very significant amount, but that got us in the door to an unbelievable amount of tremendous opportunities that we would have had no ability to get before. So I think that's a real good thing, is that that internet marketing was and concentrating on that is a great way to get your word out, because Iowans don't have the boastfulness to sell, but if you can do marketing and get the word out like that through internet marketing, I think that's a fantastic tool.
John Slump of J&J Solutions in Coralville, even though your product, unlike the rugged tablet PC, is not out on the market yet. You said 2011,
mm-hmm.
The product, it's a medical product for the safe use of chemotherapy drugs. Discuss so far, though, the challenges that you have met, have found, the things you found most challenging, perhaps not anticipated to be challenging at the beginning.
Well, I'll say raising money always takes a lot longer than you think and that you plan for. That's, you know, that was probably the biggest hurdle. We were nickel and diming family and friends, trying to do the angel investors, you know, trying to get line of credit just to get matching funds for our IDED demonstration fund. So that's just a full-time job in and of itself, and it happened to predominantly be my job. But you know, aside from that, finding the right talent is also very, very difficult. It's because it's not just who's the most qualified, who's the most experienced, but it's also who has the cultural background, who's going to be a good fit with this team, because that's almost, you know, that's just as important. So those are two of the biggest hurdles, and that's why, again, working with an incubator and a business accelerator like EDC was so helpful for us. Now, on the marketing standpoint, you know, we're not doing marketing yet per se, but playing off something Matt was talking about earlier, really finding customer-driven solutions or products that address real customer needs. And one of the things we think we've done a little bit differently is we've been working with medical institutions like University of Iowa Hospitals and others for a couple of years now. And we've really been designing our product with their inputs in mind. So when we get to the end of this tunnel, we come up with a product that these world-class institutions have helped to craft and shape with their feedback and input. And it's a lot harder to say, no, you don't want that product then, because you had a hand in designing it, essentially. So that's really an approach that we've taken that's seemed to be working out very well for us.
How large is your, in terms of employees, how large is your company now?
We currently have three full-time employees. We're bringing on a fourth, a full-time CEO later this year, and we're looking at as many is 20 by the end of 2011, scaling up considerably from there.
Are you anticipating this talent will come from within our borders, within Iowa, or will you be doing national searches, bringing in people, luring people to Coralville?
Well, our CEO talent is coming in from outside of Iowa. He's actually at Penn State. But, you know, I do think that Iowa does have a very educated, quality workforce that really is drawing a lot of great companies to the area and can really help fuel entrepreneurialism here as well. So I think that we're going to be doing a combination of both.
Matt Miller of Mobile Demand, what has been your biggest challenge in this successful venture?
Well, I think two things primarily comes to mind. One is my own limitations. As president and CEO and leadership of the company, I think I have to be honest with myself and limitations of my ability for creativity, long-range planning and the like of the company. And then secondly, I would say the economic conditions that befell us in the last couple of years really was a big challenge. The good news is we survived and we're growing very dramatically here in 2010. So but it certainly is general economic conditions has been a big challenge of us as well. You know, building the right product and listening to customer needs and building the right solutions to meet those needs is not so difficult for us, but it's that economic conditions that puts a hold on capital expenditures with our company, our customers and markets. That's been a challenge as well.
Quickly before we end our hour, an email from an anonymous emailer. My son is attending college in Minnesota. He's looking into entrepreneurship courses, programs, and activities. It appears opportunities are growing for entrepreneurs on the college level. Who can comment about that? Is higher education paying more attention to entrepreneurship these days?
Yeah. This is Matt. I would say that yes. About a month ago, I gave a presentation to an entrepreneurship boot camp for the University of Iowa. The business school had a boot camp, and with entrepreneurs and other people and students to attend. And I know that there's certain divisions within the University of Iowa, and that's a very common theme with higher education, that there's entrepreneurship type of focuses and basically classes. So.
John, quickly on that point.
Yeah, you know, I think that there's great entrepreneurial programs throughout the country, and one of the things that I've learned through my experience is that you know, that's a great place to start. The John Papa John Entrepreneurial Centers are great. I would encourage a Minnesotan student to go to University of Iowa, being a Hawkeye alum myself. But, you know, I would say look for something like JPEC there if that's where you're set on going. And then, you know, if you really get serious about a business or an idea, look for something like EDC and really look, you know, because these academic entrepreneurial organizations EDC is a bridge from there to market, to the general, you know, market opportunity. So I'd look to find some comparable organizations wherever you are.
And because we only have a minute left, I want to go around the table very quickly and find out if you can come up with one or two words that describe the personality type that makes a good entrepreneur. So think about that and just give me one, two, or three words. Maybe I can start with you, Karen. What would you say? What would your words be?
Well, I think I heard Matt Miller say it. He was talking about his challenges, and he said one of his problems was recognizing his limits, and I think that's a strength of an entrepreneur, that you understand what you're good at and okay. then seek the talent for the rest.
Very good, Karen. Let's move around the table. Kurt?
Well, tenacious and high-risk tolerance.
Tenacious, high-risk tolerance. Matt?
Creative.
Creative. John?
Relentlessly perseverant.
Very good. Words to leave us with here. Thank you very much, John Slump, Matt Miller, Karen Merrick, and Kurt Nelson. Thank you for joining our discussion this hour. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Exchange is produced by Jeff Schmidt, Catherine Perkins, and Alex Hoyer. Assistance today from Christoph Mai. In our Des Moines studio, assistance from John Pemble. We always welcome your comments and questions about this program. Write us. TheExchange@iowapublicradio.org is our email. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.